This is, we have Baruch Hashem today. The courthouse was nice and quiet. It got a long time to prepare.
You weren't chosen, were you?
Almost. The only thing that saved me was Shabbos. Otherwise, for sure, I would have been chosen. I tried twice to get out of it. I didn't want to make a collection. First time I got up and said, I have a loan from Ford Motor Cook. So he asked me to use it, because she asked, did anybody have any negias? So she said, I have a loan. So she said, well, was that going to make you biased? So she said, no. The next time, she say after she read the case, which was, as I said, clearly the guy's guilty. So I said, does anybody have any bias? So I said, well, you know, I'm a rabbi, and I, certain issues affect me from a Jewish law perspective, you know, about the signatures, not signatures. I said, well, can you judge according to Illinois law? So I said, yeah, I think I could do that. No guarantees, but I think so. So that I was doing that more so maybe one of the lawyers later on would not want me to be there because they would be afraid. So, but finally she let me go because I told her I can't stay for late Friday afternoon. So she knew that. So that was what saved me, Shabbos. Okay. Hi, Shabbos Kodesh. We are, so we have a tough Gemara tonight, actually. I was sitting there. So this morning, it's a good thing I had a large silent block. Okay, I was modeling a lot of neat sites today in one of these empty courtrooms. I forget. courtroom, some Irish guy. I don't know who it was, but... all right, we are on 102 on Nun Alpha Base. Now, there's something which last night I was unclear on, and now I think I'm more clear on, is that in order to be mistalik from property... In order to move some property, you must do it during Erusin. Even then, not everything works. But you must do it from Erusin in order to remove yourself. The language used depends. If you just write Dinu Dvarim, like it says in our Mishnah, Dinu Dvarim, Elim, Chasayah, Perusim, Perus, Perusim. So the only thing that works for is that if she sells the field, it's a valid sale. But you still have all other jurisdiction over the field. Okay, you'd have to find some other language to work to actually make the fields themselves, make the pears themselves not yours. Okay? That's the only thing is that Marcha Venus, not Kayim. Okay? So now we're going to talk about, okay, so what can she do as a result of your saying, Dinu Dvarim may leave a pear per Binachon Sayach? So.
I don't understand. This goes back a number of blocks. Why can't the Baal be Mochel?
Mochel what? Yeah, you can't be Mochel something. But you know why? Because you can't. Can you tell me, let's say I covet your coat. I don't. But let's say I covet your coat. Can you say, I'm Mochel my coat to you?
You're Mochel your coat?
No, I want his coat. Can he say, I'm moichel my coat to you? Right. That's not a kinyan. Right? At best, it means if I use it, you can be moichel the use, I don't have to pay you for it. But mechila is not a lashon of kinyan. So I can't be mistalik from something by saying, I'm moichel it to you. As I say, dinu dvarim mainly just means that I'm not going to take you to court. Right? It's not a kinyan for you. Okay, so that's why the language is no good. You understand? I've been mocked this idea. That we're good fact. We're going to talk about that right now. Okay? Macher pays mechul bar al kaker. So first, what happens if there's four lines on the bottom? What happens if she sells fruit which is connected to the ground? It's like she sold fruit which is severed from the ground, and it doesn't count. She doesn't have the right to fruit. Although he was mistalik from is from. It's her right to sell the land itself, but not to sell peros. Peros she has no right to sell. Even peros mechubarin, according to Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Yossi argues, he says, if she sells peros mechubarin, can't the ground come, it's as if she sold like a tenth of the land itself. And that does work. She's allowed to sell the land, because that, to that extent, Dina Dvarim Eni Olaich does work. Okay, so it's a machlokas. What's the status of Paris Mukhubarim, right? I wrote down here on the side, the Gilan Ephraim explains that, no, that's not on this. What's this? Hold on, run on this. I can't find my note on this. 1 second. Oh. No, nothing important. All right, sorry. So that's the machlokas. Now, new issue. Rabbi Zion Rav Yehuda Shem Rav said, "Akeis the son of Matan Lishto." Now here, actually, this is far superior. You wrote to your wife the field as a gift, not you're mistalik from it. This is superior. You wrote her field as a gift. So here's a, it says here, Eino mocheres pears. Here it says she can't sell the fruit, which makes no sense really. And the rush is the different gears of the reed. Bias brings them down, and with the rush's gear say is in the Mishnah, Eino achilas peros, or Eino ochel peros. He can't eat the fruit anymore. In our Mishnah, when he's mistali, he says dinavarim eli bin chosayich. So then he still has the rights to the fruit. And if he says, hey, deals for him, bin chosayich peros, he still has the right to the peros of the peros, the fruit which the fruit brings in, in other words, the money realized from the sale, and so on and so forth. So, but if he said, if he's meicher her the field, then Steny no longer has the right to peros. He can't eat peros anymore. I gave him, not meicher. He gave her the field as a gift. Then he has, she has no right to peros. It looked like in physical pain.
No, that's, I always look at
it. Okay.
Nothing to do with anything.
He gave her the... He writes his wife a gift. You give your wife the your field as a gift.
So she
he no longer can eat fruit. Unlike our Mishnah, where it says that he still has the right to the fruit, if he says, Dino Dvar Meir Bin Chasayich, here he no longer has the right to the fruit.
Actual transfer.
So Rabbi Zira asked on this, is Rabbi Zira, Mastis Amr, okay? Does the Bryce all like this? Now this page is super...
This is going to be a stupid question. Is it possible for a wife to have a kinyan in something that the husband doesn't?
Yes, the Bryce it certainly is. That we say, Mashukon, so Isha Kona by law, so doi the Rabbanan. I think I said this the other night. Anything, I don't know if you were here, I think you were away. The only kinyan... Midoraisa, a man has in his wife. It's a whopper of a kinyan, but the only kinyan he has is a kinyan ishus. For everything else, she's independent. Okay, now that's a major kinyan, but all the other things are all derabbanans. Okay? So, now, what does our Mishnah agree with this? Our Mishnah says, Eluin pere peros. These are pere peros. It's the price, I'm sorry. Eluin pere peros. These are pere peros. What does that mean? Mocher peros lokeach karka. In other words, she has the right. Okay, he said dinu dvarim ein bin chasayich. Uve peros saying. That means he has no right to the karka and to the peros, but he has pere peros. What does that mean? Pere peros. If he doesn't get the peros, how can he get the fruit of the peros? You can't get the chayre means you can't get the pere peros unless you have peros. But she's got the peros. So what really happens here, I'm giving an explanation which Gemara essentially itself gives later on down the Yom, but the Ribbaz brings it down here on top. It's really the Gemara itself later on. It says a Kavaldiga, what the Mishnah tells really a Kavaldiga thing. It says, and the Bryce here explains it, if you write to your wife, Dina Dvarim, Enel Saipere, same, that means that when the fruit is sold, let's say you're growing oranges, when the fruit is sold, your wife gets not the value of the oranges. Because you got pere peros. It means that if you sell the oranges, you buy with the proceeds land. She gets the land, and you get the oranges which grow on this new land. That's pere peros. So she's got the peros, that's the, you bought land with the oranges you sold, and you get the pere peros, the oranges which grow on that land. So you retain, well, the way the Ritbaz puts it, you retain the kinyan ha-peros in the peros. You only give her the kinyan ha-goof of the peros. She owns the body of the oranges, but not the use of the oranges. It's an amazing concept, right? So that's what it says here. Eluin peros, mocher peros, he sells the fruit, lokeach karka, and he gets land, and he eats the fruit of the land. Now, what's the kasha here? So, if that's the case, well, let's say the same thing when he gives her a gift of the land. If he gives her a gift, he still should retain the right to the fruit. If in this cockamamie case, he retains the right to the fruit, so therefore when he sells the initial oranges, he buys land and buys and grows more oranges. So this early in the case where he gives his wife a gift, why can't he retain the right to the fruit?
Because this was more of an outright kinyan that she made.
No, so it should be better than... you're saying good. Says Gemara. First, the Gemara doesn't give an answer yet. The Gemara actually goes into the answer slowly. Rabbi Ami asks another question. Ilu acher kosev lo. If somebody else wrote her a property, in other words, or somebody else gave her property, not her husband, right? Yesh lo achilas peros. The husband then eats the peros, right? If a woman gets property, her husband needs peros, right? So Ushakasav Lalo Koshkin. If he gave her a gift, Kabakomri should eat the peros. You don't like that, right? Sunya is the Gemara. Says Gemara, no. This is the distinction. The distinction is Lo Amar Elo Kesev. It's only in if he there's a limited chain where he writes his wife a gift. Avo Moicher Lo. Or if he sells something to his wife. Okay? There's a difference between if he sells something to his wife, then Shitaka doesn't get peros. If he gives something to his wife as a gift, she gets peros. And this Bryce, which says, Eluen Peri Peros, which even, and the Bryce says there, even if I omitted this before, I forgot, even if he sells her a field, he still gets Peri Peros. That's only about because he sold it to her. And when you sell your wife a field, why do you sell your wife a field? What are you, a jerk? You're selling your wife fields? What it means is, obviously, you suspect she's got money hidden away. And you want to find that, you want to smoke out that money. And you also, according to Rabbi, have another agenda, according to Farshamir, now you want to find the money. You want to, if she has money, you're going to tell her, use your own money to support yourself. So in that case, the relations between your wife are somewhat strained. You're not giving her anything you don't have to in order to achieve your ends. So therefore, what are you giving her? The land itself. Peros, and even you gave her peros. You only gave her peros, but not peri peros. Now, that's if you're moicher to her property. If you're kaisev to her property, that's a gift. A gift you give the ayin yofer. So that's the difference. By the gift, you actually give her the achilas peros. You relinquish what you were that right. By moicher, you keep every single right that you didn't relinquish to her explicitly. Okay? Makes sense, right? So it says somewhere, lomar kaisev. Ava moicher lo. Mavi kaisev, mavi moicher. What's between between writing his gift and selling? Ilo haya reitze. He was looking for a excuse. Lavriach mizoinus mineisha. In order to make sure she's got money so he can stop giving her mizonos in order and tell her to go support herself. Okay? Now, ask someone like this. Today I was sitting and just staring at this next Gemara and staring and staring. I couldn't figure it out for like, I don't know how long. It took 20 minutes, half an hour until finally I realized what the Mefarshim were doing with it. Michal Daitid Rabbi Yehuda. I understand according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi, let's go back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon, our Mishnah and Machlokas. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbanon, let me start with. According to Rabbanon, when he says, "Din v'arim enli b'perusayich b'nichsein u'perus b'nichsein u'perus," which comes first? Rabbanon comes first. "Din v'arim enli alayich u'perusayin," right? "Ein ocha perus b'chayeh," you can't eat fruit during your lifetime, right? Rabbi Omer, even if he writes that, he can still eat peri-peros. Until he writes it, he can't eat peri-peros. And if he writes peri-peros, he can still eat peri-peri-peros. Until he writes, peri-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros-peros- said like this. The Mishnah said, "Din dvarim ein li bin chosayich uveperoseh." That means all property, universally, everything you own. What about one field? That's what the Gemara's question is going to be. And according to Rabbanan, what about one field? The chasayich means your entire property. What about I give her one field? Okay? Let's see inside. And there are a lot of mistakes here. Nichadait Rabbi Yehuda k'shekosa d'vien dvarim ainli bin chasayich. And here it should be ubepeiro sehen. Yesh lo achilas peiros. Not ain lo achilas peiros. She still got achilas peiros. Now what it, or achilas, it really is not achilas peiros. It's not exact, means achilas peire peiros. But we said, if he writes din for him, ainli bin chasayich, peiros sehen, he's still got the right to be achilas peiros. Right? Or peire peiros, excuse me, in our Mishnah, right? What about afilu kosav ladino dvarim ainli besodazu peiroseo yesh lo achilas peiros? What about if he says not all of your property and all of the peiros but sodazu? What's the status of one field? That's the question. Is it the same thing or is it not the same thing? Okay. And simli nicha al daiti the rabban according to rabban I mendo shekasa din dvarim ainli it should be. B'nechasayich, not b'sodazu, b'nechasayich u'peros sayin. If he writes, I don't have a right in your property and the peros, and again it should be ain lo achilas peros, he doesn't have achilas peros, because that's Rabbanan Shita. They say, if you write the din for him ain lo achilas peros, that's it, he loses achilas peros. And, meaning again, even achilas peros. He loses everything, right? Koy Rabbido, whatever you wrote, you lost. Whatever you didn't write, you didn't lose, you still retain. But at the moment you wrote peros, it excludes you from peros and pere peros and pere peros, no matter what. You lose everything. So what about if you wrote a few kos of dinu dvarim ainli, and here it should be besodet zu in this field. Besodet zu Besar the zoo. A lo achilas peiros doesn't work as well. Do we say that he doesn't have achilas peiros either? So the shmini me'ado. Let's learn that from here. The ma'ar Rabbi Zira said a few minutes ago, and Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Rav, ha'kosev sodem matan alish. If somebody writes a field as a gift to his wife, a lo achilas peiros, he loses achilas peiros. And by the way, that's according to the same Girsa of the Rosh had. It's considered the Rosh's Girsa. So, because the same statement we had at the bottom of the Alpha and Base. So, what does that Gemara say? If he writes one field to his wife, what's the halacha? What does it say here? If he writes one field as a gift to his wife, what does he do? What's the halacha? He doesn't have rights. He loses all rights. Now, who do you think Rav is saying that in? In Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbana? Logically, who would he paskin like? Rabbanan. So Rabbanan, who hold in our Mishnah, that din dvarim ainli bin nechasayich over peiros sehen. Rav says, even besod the zoo, one field he loses the right in that specific field. Right? So therefore, the flip side of that would be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, din dvarim ainli bin nechasayich peiros sehen does not work. He still has rights to peiros. Until he writes pair of pairs, so the same thing should apply to Sodazu. There's no distinction between all of your property and one bit of property. Okay, that's what Gemara is saying. So here says Rabbi Zira, I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, again, it's the same question, it's repetitive. I'm not sure, I think I don't think the question should have appeared twice. I'm not sure whether it should be taken out here or taken out before, but the same question appears here again. Are we saying, see, so I'm okay, does the Mishnah agree? It says, Velo and Peri Peros. Mocher Peros. What are Peri Peros? Mocher Peros. Mocher Peros. Lokeh Karka. In other words, the husband, when he since he retains Peri Peros, he gets the, since he retains Peri Peros, what he does is he sells the original oranges, buys land, Lokeh Karka Mocher Peros. So now, here's where the Gemara actually explains the question. At top of the Gemara didn't explain the question from the Tosefta, I explained it. But here the Gemara itself actually explains it. We came in Shkosadina for him mainly a big Chosayach Peros Seyan. Since he writes, the invite of Chasai Peo Sam, is it not Loki Kosi son the Matona Leash Tohu? Is it not as if he wrote a gift to his wife, right? It shouldn't be like as if he wrote a gift. So there, and yet here we see that he has the rights to Pere Peros. I thought he Lo Peros. For Lo Pere Peros. So you're going to say that there's no difference between Peros and Pero Pere Peros. We see that normally he gets to keep the Pere Peros. Javier Lo Shani. Ben Lo Shani El Daite. One second, I think I got that just wrong. Yeah, that's the answer. The question is again. Let me go up four lines again. All right, see, I see some Americans by saying this fail in Paris. Mother Paris, okay, Carvel Paris. Became Chazin, Varmel, Cyprus, and local cohesive son of Matona, Lishto. Is it not the same thing like granting a gift? No. And the other one says, no, it's not. By cohesive son of Matona, at Oimer Loperos, Velo Pere Peros, by I'm not sure where the question ends and the answer begins, really. I remember what I figured out this morning. Again, let me start the question one more time. Is it local because you started my tongue? Lisha is not like writing a gift. It says you still retain peri peros. What's the difference? Our mission says you write only din dvarim animal side perisayim. So then you still have the right to the peri peros. So you have to write sud zoo, a specific field to your wife. You should still retain the right to the peros. So the Gemara here is really missing what it said on top. It said on top already the distinction. The difference, the difference between moicher and koisev, right? If you sell your wife a field, or if you write your wife a field. The same distinction, although the Gemara, the word's missing here, the whole phrase missing here, obviously. But what the Gemara means to say is that's different. In our Mishnah, you're mistalek. You removed yourself, right? From the payrolls. Whatever you remove yourself from, you remove yourself from, not more. When you give your wife a gift, that's different. When you give your wife a gift, so you're giving her a gift of all the payrolls and payrolls. So look, it's chasim in a safe here. There's something missing. But what the Gemara is really trying to say at this point is, in answer to Rabbi Zero's contention. Rabbi Zero's contention is, well, if in the Mishnah or in the Braitzah, we see they retain payrolls, So too in your case, Rob, we should retain periperos. And what the Gemara is answering, although it's not clearly specified here, but it was already, we said it by the difference between Moicher and Koitsev, that there's a difference between where you're selling her a field or where you're writing Dinu Dvorim Eli Ben Chasayichu Perosem and you're giving her a field. That's different. In the first two cases, since it's not a matona, so limited effect. And where in the last case, where it's a matona, it's a complete effect. Okay? Now the Gemara continues. It says, Atomar, you say when it's a gift, according to Rav, he retains lo peros or lo periperos. He retains nothing. Not fruit, nor fruit of fruit. Have it should be, so it comes out. Lo shania al daitein should be the rabbanon. There's no difference between the rabbanon. Because of the environment, only outside the zoo, over perosayin. Because of the environment, only beside perosayin. In other words, whatever works, works. There is a difference between our Mishnah and Rav. In our Mishnah, he is miskalik. Right? In Rav, he wrote Sadezu. But in but whatever to whatever extent it works bin chosayich and besadazu, and therefore according to Rabbana, if you just wrote the advar mainly bin chosayich, so you have the right to peros. If you just wrote the advar mainly besadazu, you have the right to the peros still. If you wrote the advar, if you wrote a matana. And that he gives his wife to a matona of this field, then he doesn't have the right to even tachilas peros anymore. But there's no qualitative difference. Whatever works by the chasayach works by the zoo as well. And the reverse is true according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, for I didn't form any bin chasayach, ube peros say, and you still have the right to peros, right? Rabban hold on that way. Rabban hold once you write the form any bin chasayach peros same, that's it. You have no right, no, to pay repairs, not to pay repairs, not to anything, right? That's important to remember. It's a very confusing machlokas. Rabbanu hold, you have to, if you wrote just the chosayich, then you still have the right to peros. But the minute you wrote peros, that includes peros. According to Rabbi, even if you wrote peros, it doesn't include peros. And he still has the right to peros. Right, so that's machlokas Rabban Rabbi Yehuda. So, we see bottom line is what that sadazu works to be mistalik, and it might work when you write it as a gift. It's even better. You're mistalik even more. But the bottom line is whatever works by the chasayich works by sada as well. It's not just your entire field to the property that you have. You know. I have to make this clear, and I didn't make this clear. The Gemara makes it clear later on, actually. When you write the Inzvarim Eli B'chasayach, what Nechasim is that referring to? Nechse Milog. The woman can't take one of his fields and sell them. It's her fields which she brought into marriage. Sadezu is one field of his. You see the difference? That's really why the Gemara had a Shiloh. I really didn't make this clear, and it wasn't even clear to me till this moment. But now it just struck me; it's obvious. That's why the Gemara has a whole question. The Gemara is grappling with because nechasayich means nechasei miloik. Yeah, thus is partial. They can be mistalik from that to whatever extent. But what about sadezu, my field, which I'm giving to you as a gift? And that the Gemara's discussion is coming. And the Gemara's conclusion is that, based on Rav's statement, sadezu of my field is the same like nechasayich of your nechasei milog. And that's why it's a monumental chiddush. You know, it's really good when I'm awake, actually. I can figure things out. Okay. So that's what's actually happening here. So the and therefore the Gemara says, just like Koyin Rabbanan, there's no difference. So too, the Kavasah similarly should be Rabbi Huda, the last four lines. Lo shania ben kasha kasha din varim enim chasayach perosayim ben kasha din varim enim besadeh zu perosayim yesh lachilas peros. Whatever applies to the chasayich to the chasayimi loich applies to the sadeh to the field I gave you a gift, whether it's that ain lachilas peros like Rabbanan or yesh lachilas peros like Rabbi Huda. And the base of that was the statement of Rav that when he gives her a sod as a gift, then he loses all rights to Achilas Peros. And, again, just to remind you, that it's better when he writes her a gift than when he sells her a field, right? Because he sells her a field, he still retains the Achilas Peros, or Pere Peros, as the case may be. Okay, says the Gemara, new sugya. That was very difficult. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Hashem Rav said, Halacha Rishim Gamliel, halacha is like Rishim Gamliel. Rishim Gamliel says, if he writes to his wife, Dinan Varim Enim Mechasayich, and then he dies, Rabbanan hold, he doesn't inherit the fields. He lost the right of inheritance. Rabbi Rishim Gamliel holds, he still has the rights of inheritance, because Masna Mashkos Batera is making a tie that which is in Torah. Torah says, Baal's Yerish. It's a big machlekes, actually, but in the Torah it says Baal is Yerish, so he can't make that tonight. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yishem Rav said, look, Rishim Gamliel, Avol, lowly in advar, but not in terms of his reason. he's right about the din, but wrong about the reason. If she dies, he inherits her. But his logic, he makes a kiddush, which says the Torah, the kiddush is null and void. But that's not true, because that's b'tnaya guf, and the kiddush has to do with my body, meaning with mitzvahs and averas, which have to do with my person. I have a t'nai mamot, but monetary stipulations, it's an old klal, general principle, t'no kayim. Master mash kosa b'tor works, but t'nai shu b'momot. A condition, a monetary condition, does work, right? So v'zeh t'nai momonu, there's a monetary condition. He stipulated he's not going to have any rights to the property, right? The lama amru t'no b'to, so why taki here did they say, in our case, if we don't hold Masa Mashkosa Batura is a problem. So why do they say the 9 years null and void? Sheba Soifu Zachaben. Very interesting answer. When does he inherit the property? After her death. What did he say? I have no buyer during your lifetime. I remove all claims. But after death is a different story.
He gets it back.
That's right. Okay? That's it says. Rabbi Yamishem Yechot said, Bedino yo. Now.
Well, that makes sense. He inherits all her property anyway. So he gave her the property when she was alive. And when she dies, it goes back to him anyway.
Right. Okay? Rabbi Yamishem Rabbi Yechot said, and that's why the truth is that even if he didn't write the Dvarim, logic would dictate that if he didn't write the Dvarim in the Chesach, her sale should be valid. Because when does the husband get ownership of the property? Only when he inherits it. Nichsimilogi never really owns. So why can she sell the property? Right? Bedina she should be able to do it. But Laman Rubato, why they say he can't do it? Shalote Isha Mocheres Nechasim Shabailah said a woman shouldn't sell her husband's property. Remember I told you before the between Milog and her husband. So afraid a woman is going to be, you know, less than honest and sell her husband's property for Mirah Shalihan and say it's mine. So that's why they took away from her the right to sell the property, unless her husband writes Dino Dvarim Manly and Minchasayach and Peirusay. Now, it's a very interesting Yerushalmi. Argues in the Bavli. The Bavli holds that the reason why a wife's sale of Nichsei Milog is null and void is because of Takonas Usha. And Takonas Usha, I don't know if the Bavli Yerushalmi even knew about Usha. Usha is in Bavel, I think. So what Takonas Usha is that a husband asu ba'al b'nichsei ishto kilokeach. They made a husband in his wife's property as if he's the first buyer. So just like a first buyer has first dibs, he has first dibs before anybody else. So the action is at the time of marriage, as a buyer, it's already his. The Ushami doesn't hold that. The Baal holds a husband and his wife's property is a Yoresh. And a Yerusha only takes place after his wife dies, right? So why, Taka, does she not have the right to sell? Only because of this Gezerah, because she might be underhand. This Gezerah is not mentioned in the Bavli, because she might be underhand and go sell his property too. I don't know if the Beard Baz says that he doesn't know if there's necessarily any nafkimina, any specific difference, Lamaisa. But that's a very interesting difference in Svara. The Baal Yerushalmi holds Baal B'nichsei Ishto Lokeach. From the moment he marries her, it's as if he bought the property. It's just that Nichsei Milog is still Meshuvah in case he dies or divorces her. The Yerushalmi holds that he's a Yoyrish. But they didn't allow him to sell, even though it's not yet his, because she might be underhanded. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ustina Avle Yuvda. Rabbi Ustina had a maisa, where his wife died, and they were nichsei miloik, right? And he wanted to, he wrote Dino Dvarim, and the Mechsayach Perusayim. He wrote that. Now, she didn't sell it. Had she sold it, wouldn't be out, but she didn't sell it. So now, but now she died. He wants to know if he inherited. Do we pass him like Rishon Gamliel or not? Like Rishon Gamliel, he would. Like Chachamim, he wouldn't. So says the Gemara, but he asked the rabbis, Armin Leh, they said, Pukmina Chosayach, leave your property. Because you wrote the Dvarim, you no longer have the right to inherit her. Like Chachamim. Shalab Shimalog said, Ole bin Chosayach, go back to your property, because we passed on Rishon Gamliel, even though not for his reason, that she had, that the property remains yours. Okay? So it says the Gemara, again, because the Takon of the Rabbanan, they made a Takon of the Rabbanan, that they made a Takon of the Rabbanan, that he has the right to get the property back. You know, it's interesting. It's actually my cloak between the Pnei Moshe Korban Eidah, which I didn't fully understand when I was praying, but now it really strikes me. The Pnei Moshe says it's a straight-up case. She died. He had written Dina Dvarim and Mechasayach. Does he get it anyway? Okay? And the Mara says, yeah, he gets it anyway, like Shem Gamliel. The Korban Eidah writes that it's a case where she actually sold the property during his lifetime. And he gets it back anyway because the Takana, which you just mentioned, that her Mecher is Batel, in order that, so it's not a case where he wrote the Dina Dvarim and the Mechasayach. It's a case where Stam she sold, right? She sold the property. And now he asked whether he can get it back after her death, which is much more directly aligned with the previous Gemara. So there are two levels here. One is the issue of when you write Dina Dvarim and the Mechasayach, does that allow, deprive you of the right to inherit? So that's A. That way you said no, right? The second land, and the question according to the passage of Rishon Gamliel. And the second issue is, well, when you sell property, when a wife sells property, do we say that that sale is null and void? Because we're afraid, because of the gzera, that she might come to sell her husband's property. And we also passing, yes, the sale is null and void. So it's not clear what the maisa of Rabbi Ustina was. Right, was it a mice? By the way, Justina Ninus is Justin. So Justin obviously was a Jewish name. So in any event, what?
Still is. Yeah.
So from Justin. Okay. He was from the Modern Orthodox, I'm wrong. So in any event, So they say, so again, whatever the case was, it's a machlokas, whether it's okay or not okay. Rabbi Yirmi asked for Rabbi Yirmi, hey, Lun Rabbanit, who are the rabbis who paskin for Rabbi Yustina that he loses the property? We paskin that if she sells property during her husband's lifetime, and he didn't write the Dvarim, the sells null and void. So like the Korban Eidah, it's pasha that it's his property. And we pass it, he writes, Dina Dvarim and Mechasayach Peir Zayin, he still gets the property upon her death. Right? So then, like, because they don't pass it, because passing like Rishon Gamliel, even though Lav Mitaimah, we pass like Rishon Gamliel. So according to that perspective, he should get the property. So who passing now like Chachomim? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmi Baikur, Rabbi Zir, Hailon Rabbanu, who are these rabbis? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, they all hold like Rishon Gamliel, or they all hold in such case the Mecher's bottom. I'm later a buddy to Rabbi Ustina, the rabbis Rabbi Ustina, and these rabbis Rabbi Ustina were the ones who paskin like Chachamim. Or the ones who paskin that the mecher is sustainable. Okay? Now, Bon Kumi Rabbi Yochanan, the Korban Eidah says, these are the rabbis, actually it's a continuation, he learns it as if it's Rabban Rabbi said, the Bon Kumi Rabbi Yochanan. Well, that's Rabbi Yochanan's following question. But you don't have to learn that way. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's following question. Dibre Chachomim, according to Chachomim, Mesa mi Yorsha. According to Chaim, don't argue with Rishon Gamliel, who says that if you write Tfilas by Melech, he loses the right of inheritance. So Utak inherits her. So says the Gemara, Ilein Achin Yorshino. So according to Chaim, her brother's inheritor. Now the Pnei Moshe says her brother's and not her father, and I don't understand how that would work. I'm going to assume it's talking about a case where her father's not alive. So since her father's not alive, if he wrote the Tfilas by Melech, so then her brothers inherit her because he brings up the Gwaran Boabasar, Shan Boabasar, which I never learned, so I don't know. But so according to Chachamim, her brothers would inherit her. Rabbi Yirmi, a boy, Kumi Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yirmi has from Rabbi Zira. Ha'achim Shechoku. I need to point out another thing. We pass in like Rishon Gamliel v'lav mitaimei. Rishon Gamliel holds his master on Mashkos of Batera. We hold that Tanaya Mashkos of Batera would work. But another thing which we can also argue Rishon Gamliel, perhaps, as we've seen him on, Rabbi Yochanan might hold that Yerusha Sabal is the Rabbana. And therefore it's not master Mashkos of Batera. And the Korban, actually learns this Gemara this way. They ask Rabbi Yochanan, if you don't hold like a Shimon Gamliel, then he learns that the whole sugya is a different type of sugya. He gives an alternate shot, I should say. Says maybe there are abundant Rabbi Yitzchak, we're not asking in a case where he wrote Dino Dvarim Eidel Chesach, who inherits. Rather, asking in a case of Gassi case Stump, if you hold Yishus Abal, is the Rabbana. Who inherits a wife to Raisa? And on that, Rabbi Yochanan was answering, the brothers inherit to Raisa. So specifically, they were asking a much more general question, not a specific question relating to our Mishnah. Okay? Rabbi Yirmi Abayi Kumi Rabbi Zira. Ha'achit Shechokum. Brothers who split up. They split up the estate. Now, for some reason, this is another thing, stupid things you never realized before. Or rather, things you never realized before because you were stupid. We've learned so many times already in Shas. If an almana dies, if a husband dies and there's an almana left, so they have to feed her and sustain her, right, to the yisoyman. Well, the yisoyman only have to feed her and sustain her from the property left from the estate. They accumulated their own wealth during their life, then they don't have to use that to support the almana. To Tadavar Pashut, right? I never thought of it before. Because I always thought, they have property. All their property comes from their estate. It's not true. They could have been independently wealthy by the time their fathers died, right? And the fathers might have left to them minuscule estates. So what do they have to use in order to support the almana? Only whatever's left from the father. Okay? Maybe you guys realize that, but I just never thought of it before. It's just logic, right? What? Right. So here it says, "Boy, Rabbi Yehoboy Kumi's Rabbi Zira, Achit Shechoku." It's an interesting question, but it's not in the Bible at all. Two brothers are split up. Amonin is Oyez Mishal ahead. You might say that once they split up the state doesn't exist anymore, right? And therefore, I don't have to support you. I just bought this from the state. I don't have to support you. I just bought it from the state. The state is no longer extant. So that's not true. Even though they split up the estate, theoretically, the property they got from the state is still under lien to her for food. That's obvious, right? However, Pshita Machru Shelahen Machru. And it's Pashut that property which didn't come to them, Yerusha, is theirs and they don't have to support her with that either. So actually, he's actually stating this here, which should have been Pashut to us, it's right here. Pshita Machru Shelahen Machru. So he's saying this. Once you divide the state remains intact no matter what permutations it undergoes, and vice versa, whatever property they have, no matter, and that never comes under Meshibut for. Now, another similar request statement, Rabbi Yair, it's actually, it says Rabbi Yair Boy Kumar Rabbi Zir, but I guess it should be, here it's a case where a boy is a statement as opposed to a question. Rabbi Yair Boy Kumar Rabbi Avo. But this is actually a question. Rabbi Yair ask a question for Avo. See if it says, when the other, and this is just brought down, the Korban Eder tries to make a connection from the previous one, this one, but I think it's just Derech Agav. When the other people of Menashe came to complain about Bnos Slavcha to Moshe, they said, Moshe, if there's going to be a Yovel, if they marry other men from other tribes, there's going to be a Yovel, their property is going to go to those other tribes, right? It's not fair, right? So Rabbi has. It says, yeah, Yovel Bnei Yisrael. So it's the assumption is that question. When Yovel works, then the nachlos go back. When Yovel doesn't apply, the nachlos don't go back. Now it means like this. The question is a little bit cryptic in the Gemara itself, but it's a very strong question. It says, if the Yovel will happen, so it's going to go to their husband Shvatim. If there's no Yovel, it's even worse. Because no Yovel, the moment they get married, it goes to their husband Shvatim, right? If there's a Yovel, so only when Yovel comes is it going to go to the husband Shvatim. If the husband dies before that, so then there won't be a problem. If there's no Yovel, it's much worse. If there's no Yovel, the moment they get married, their husband Shvatim takes over their property. So what do you mean, Yovel ibn Yisrael? Without the Yovel, it's much worse, right? So it says the Gemara, Adarabba Asame Marloch. It's coming to say, Adarabba, that's part of the question, right? Adarabba, the country. So it says, Asame Marloch, trying to tell you, Afilu Bishoa Shai Yovel Noyeg, even when there isn't Yovel. And you might think, Anachlos Choyzers, maybe in Yovel, property will go back, meaning the property, let's say they die, the Bnos Lavcha, and their husbands inherit it. So I might say in Yovel goes back to the Bnos Lavcha Shevet to Menashe. No. Yerushas Torah in a Chuzeres. And here we see Yerushas Abal's the rights of Korban Rabbi Yirmiyah. He says, since the Yerushas Abal, if the Yerushas Abal would occur, so then even Yovel doesn't supersede that. So where Yerushas Abal the Rabbana, he wants to say, then Taka, in Yovel, if the Baal inherited one of the daughters of Slavchad, then it would could go back to the daughter to Menashe. Because Yerushalayim might be the Rabbanan, and Yovel would undermine that and put it back in Menashe's tribe. But since Yerushalayim is the Raisa, so even when Yovel comes, it's not going to do any good because it's going to remain in the husband's portion. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi bought from Rabbi Yossi. I hear about Pasi asking for Rabbi Yossi. Mocharu, who may say, what happens? He sells his wife's Nichse Miloik. Now, of course, he had no right to do that. But then she dies first, and he inherits the property. It's a valid sale. So Amarlosa, he said, Mikro Bato. It says Mikro, but it should be Mikro. It's found, null and void. Did he have a right to sell it when he sold it? No, so the sale's null and void. But Ben, now it seems that the Bavli argues on this. The Baz wants to say not. But the Pashas is that the Yushami does argue this. The Bavli argues. Because look, according to Yushami, husband's a Yoresh. When does he first get rights to the Nichse Milok? Only upon his wife's death. So sale during his wife's lifetime is just idle motion. Meaningless. But according to the Bavli, a husband in his wife's property is a lokeach. So that means already for the time he married her, that's right. So therefore, sale at least should be conditionally valid, because in case his wife predeceases him, he takes it over. So the Ridbaz brings down, even nonetheless, Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, the Bavli and Shami don't argue. The Bavli would agree to this halacha. I don't know why. The Ridbaz didn't explain why, and I didn't look it up today in the Cook County Circuit Courthouse to find out. But it seems that the Bavli should argue on this, right? But because Yushami's marshal is Leben Shemachar B'chayavim, it's like a son who sold something in his father's lifetime, who may sell it and then his father died, that the sale is meaningless. But According to Bava, should argue in that. Machu umesu. Machu hi umesu. Now, what about the other way around? She sold, and of course the property is still hers, basically. And then he died, right? Amar lei, so in that case, mirchol kayim. That case, the sale is valid. And what is that like? Now, the charitari sitzol should change the girsas around here, Beninov, to make it make more sense. Even though the girsa which is here is written in all the restraining, but it really doesn't make any sense. It's written here. The charitari sitzol changes around. It's like a ben, a son, shemachar b'chaye aviv, who sold in his father's lifetime, umeis aviv. Oh, you know what? I don't like the Shari Torah series this role. Scratch that. Boo. I just realized, I don't like it. I'm going to read it like it says it here. Because he makes mamash the same thing like the previous case. Let's do this the way it is. Let's do it. This makes much more sense. All right, so he said, Mechakayim, it's like of a father. Shemach b'chayi b'no, who sold during his son's lifetime property which his son would inherit. Umeis b'no, but his son died. Right? So the same thing if a wife sold her nichsei milog. So yes, her husband might inherit it someday. But he's not going, he died first, so therefore he never inherited. So the sale's vowed. It's like a father who sold property that his son might inherit, but his son is not around to inherit. Okay? What if she sold her property to her husband? Now, this is a complicated case. Did you guys have Marvia in the Hamar? Shucks. This is, all right. We'll have to let you off the hook then. The case like this, we'll have to start and not finish tonight. So it's very difficult tomorrow tonight. Case like this, cases of a husband, I'm sorry, somebody else came to a woman and said, this is your property. Acharaich, it's a famous case in Baba Basra, the Yerusha and the Babli. It's in the Ksuvas. Acharaich, the classic case in the Babli is like this. Reuven, the Gemara will bring it down later, so it's good. I say, Reuven sold property, gave property to Shimon and said, Acharecha, after you should go to Levi. And Acharav, it should go to Yehuda. Okay? So actually, there's sequential ownership. Reuven put into play here sequential ownership. From Shimon to Levi to Yehuda. No, strangers. Here, he did the same thing with somebody came to a woman and said, it's to you, and then to Levi, and then to Yehuda. To Sarah, to Levi, and then to Yehuda. Now, the halacha is if Shimon sells the property, in the case of Acharecha, then tough on Levi and Yehuda, because when he owns it, he owns it. Okay? The Gemara is going to discuss why. What if the wife sold the property to her husband? Does that work also and cancel the Acharecha? That's the Gemara's question now. Okay? Interesting question. And the Gemara is going to discuss this in... Yeah. The Gemara in Basra says, oh, it's a Russia, because he's deprived... The whole chain was disrupted, but it's a valid sale. It's a Maisa Rishus, but it's a valid Maisa Rishus. Right? So that's the Gemara is going to discuss, right? Marichia bar Maria Bari Karabi and a Machla by Lamau. It should be. So Allah said, Rabbi Bacharecha, that if the first person sells, tough on the subsequent people, Adamra Mecha Mecha Mecha. It's a valid sale here too. If she sells to her husband, she got out of the Acharecha, right? Now, the case, now we're going to go into greater detail. Tani, so we learned to write, so Amr, somebody says, Yinostu Nechosai Leplani. Now, here it didn't say the word Acharecha, and that's important. He just said, Yinostu. Let them be given. Okay? So that's going to be... So, you know, the chasen ploni, and mace ploni, let them give it to Shimon. When Shimon dies, let them be given to Levi. Right? And so on and so forth down the line. Mace Arishon, you know, so Shani. When the first one dies, they give it to Shani. Mace Shani, if there was the third one, when the second one dies, goes to the third one. Right? You know, so Shlishi. If the second guy dies during the first one's lifetime, since the second guy never got them, the buck stops here. It's got to be Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. The Sheni predeceases the Rishon, it never gets to the Shlishi. All right, so that's one. That's the question is, good, is that a case of Acharecha or a case of Meis Ploni V'Acharkach? What does the word Acharecha do? We'll come back to what the word Acharecha does tomorrow.